There were some great bands in the early 90s. Some of you too young to remember, don't worry, I will fill you in. Others, you know what I'm talking about. There was U2, there was Blur, there was the Spice Girls. One of my favorites, late 80s, early 90s, was REM. Anybody know REM? Yeah. Actually, when you look back, some of their music, quite depressing. Everybody Hurts, one of their classics. Even their song, Shiny Happy People, when you listen to the lyrics, is pretty depressing. But number one on their depressing list is a song that is called It's the End of the World as We Know It. Basically, they talk about famines and earthquakes and wars and disasters. And then the chorus goes a little bit like this. It goes, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And anybody got it? I feel fine. I feel fine. And it's a bizarre song because it's a disaster what they're describing in the song. And yet, guess what? It doesn't matter because I just feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. I don't know if you've seen this movie recently. It came out on Netflix in 2020. And it's about a comet that is going to hit planet Earth. And these scientists, they find out that this comet is coming. It's 99.78% likely to hit Earth in the next 6 months. It's 10 kilometers wide, so it will wipe out everything on the planet. And they go to tell the president, Meryl Streep, of the USA about it coming. Here's what happens next.
I heard there's an asteroid or a comet or something that you don't like the looks of. Tell me about it. You got 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Go.
A comet between 5 to 10 kilometers across that we estimate came from the Oort cloud. And using Gauss's method of orbital determination and the average astrometric uncertainty of 0.04.
Whoa.
I'm so bored. Just tell us what it is. Seriously, stop.
What Dr. Mindy is trying to say is that there's a comet headed directly towards Earth.
And then what happens, like a tidal wave?
It will be far more catastrophic. There will be mile-high tsunamis.
So how certain is this?
There's 100% certainty of impact.
Please, don't say 100%.
Can we just call it a potentially significant event?
But it isn't potentially going to happen.
99.78% to be exact.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's not 100%.
Call it 70% and let's move on.
But it's not even close to 70%.
Let's just use like 60% as a working number.
Okay, we're gonna get our own scientists on this, you know, no offense.
Dr. Mindy is a tenured professor of astronomy at Michigan State.
I'm sorry, did you say Michigan State?
Exactly, they have an excellent astronomy department.
You say so.
You want to see my SAT scores?
I'm sorry. Who is she?
Are you her son?
I'm chief of staff boy with the dragon tattoo, so I'm doing fine.
How many tampons can you fit in that bag?
As many as I want.
At this very moment, I say we sit tight and assess.
Sit tight and assess.
Sit tight and assess?
You want us to sit tight.
And then assess.
That's a little trailer, so I've hopefully not ruined the movie for you. But it's a bizarre concept. Here's some scientists, and all the scientists agree this comet is going to hit Earth and wipe everything else. And the president of the US and a whole load of political leaders come up with this campaign called Don't Look Up. If you don't look up, you can't see it coming. And even towards the end of the movie, you can see the comet if you just look up. But the whole brainwashing of the people is, hey, look, if we just sit tight and assess, we'll be absolutely fine. Just don't look up. Just don't look up. It's actually quite tragic the way it ends. Even the good guys in the movie, they have nothing to say in the event of impending doom for them and the whole world. I wonder how you feel about that, whether that scares you, whether that is something that you worry about. Well, a comet coming isn't going to be the way that the world ends. The Bible tells us how the world will end. And in this passage today, Jesus begins to describe that to the people. He says this, verse 32, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus wants his disciples to be ready. Not surprised, not taken aback, not to sit tight and assess or not look up, but to be ready. The posture of a disciple of Jesus Christ is to be perpetually ready for his return. Ready for the day when the Lord will bring everything to an end. And yet, whilst being perpetually ready to also live out our God-given responsibilities, holding those two things in tension. We're not to sit here and just go, well, he's coming back. What's the point of me doing anything? We're supposed to be ready. And you'll see that as this passage unfolds. Right at the beginning, it says, that day. That day he is referring to there is the day that Duncan read about in Hebrews that is repeated time and time again throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the day when history stops. It is the day when God brings life as we know it to an end. It's the day where God judges the world. That is a day that is as certain as the reality of the breath that you are breathing, the air you are breathing right now. Jesus says, I have come, I will rise, I will ascend to heaven, and I will return. We don't know when that day is going to be, but it is a certainty. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will return. He has said so, the prophets have said so, the apostles have said so, and we are to be ready. It's a day that the Bible often describes as a terrible day of judgment, where we will, every single human being that's ever lived, be held to account of how we have lived in relation to God. It'll be a day of great joy alongside that, because if you are in Jesus, you put your trust in him, then though you will be judged, you'll be found not guilty, because your guilt will be on him, on the cross. A great day of joy, of reunion with God the Father. And no one knows when it's coming. There is a lot of people that try to predict it. They look at all kinds of different signs and things, and they make conclusions out of what the Bible says, and then they say he's coming 2033 at 6 o'clock on the 3rd of February. And they make a lot of money and cause a lot of hysteria as they make these predictions. But Jesus says three times in the New Testament that we don't know when the Father has planned it to come. So there's nobody on YouTube that knows better than Jesus. And Jesus says that only the Father knows when that time is. And it will be revealed. It's hard though, isn't it, to live in light of the fact that Jesus is going to return. It's so often not in our minds, not in our focal points as we take on our days, as we go about our jobs, as we do the different things that are in front of us. You see, there's only two dates in God's calendar that he really focuses on. Here's God's calendar for March 2024, today and that day. Now, I'm not saying that that day is coming on the 26th of March, but we don't know when that day is coming. You see, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. Focus on today. Live wholeheartedly with me and for me today. Because you don't know when that day is coming. God's calendar has two dates on it. Today and that day. And we're to live today wholeheartedly for him and with him. And in light of that day that is coming for the whole world. Perpetual readiness while living out God's given responsibilities. That's how we are to be. Look at how Jesus continues. Verse 33, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. This is watchful language, isn't it? It's not sit tight and assess. It's not don't worry about it and carry on with your lives regardless. It's be on your guard. It's be alert. It's keep watch. It's live knowing that that day is coming. And ultimately, that is a day that really matters. Loss of focus on that day will cause you to lose out. being alert means allowing the fact that that day is coming to shape how you live today. If that day is happening, how will you live in light of that today? Go back to the movie. If you were told, like the whole population of the world in that movie, that it's a certainty that the world will end in 6 months' time, how would you live your life? And you kind of got three types of people. You've got the absolute panickers that are totally consumed with the concern and the fear and basically end up in bed because they cannot emotionally cope with the fact the world is going to end. You've got the, oh well, let's forget about it, carry on, and let's do everything that I want to do on my bucket list before that moment comes. Spend all my money, do all the things that bring me pleasure, but ultimately forget about it. And then you've got those who do their best to prepare themselves and their families and their friends in light of the reality of what's going to happen. That's what Jesus talks about here. He wants us to live in light of this certain reality and to prepare ourselves and our families and our community for the certainty of that day. But notice he doesn't say, do nothing, or therefore just get the most out of the next few hours because I'm coming back March the 3rd, 2024. No, he says each with their assigned task. In tension with the fact that that day is coming, the Bible also holds out in Ephesians 2 that God has created you in Christ Jesus with good works that he has prepared in advance for you to do. What are those? Well, there's a whole host of things that he outlines, but you can summarize them in three things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples of all people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What has God assigned all his people? Not just those who are paid to do it or those who are professionals at doing it, but to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love their neighbor as their self, and go and tell others about him, because he is good news. He is good news. The Christian heart, as it thinks about that day, is not full of fear or regret, but great joy. Because on that day, the King of Kings will return. And if you've put your faith in him, he will know your name. And he will welcome you into his new heaven and his new earth that will last forever. It'll be a glorious moment. I was in the States last week. I got to spend a little bit of time with a guy called Randy Alcorn, classic American name. And it's a real privilege to spend time with Randy. He's an author. He's written loads of books. But his specialty in terms of the books he's written are on heaven. And he's basically taken the whole of the Bible and produced what you would call a systematic doctrinal theology of heaven, because he believes that the church today is so naive in its understanding of what God is preparing for us that we live as if it's just a fairy tale, a fluffy cloud syndrome. And I went to a seminar that he did, and it was brilliant. It was a whistle-stop tour in an hour of every Bible passage, and he literally, boom, 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 pulling them through as we looked at the glory and the wonder of what is to come. And yet we live as if this is it. We focus on today and only today, and we live and we try and make today as heaven-like as we possibly can using the resources that we have. And yet God looks at us and goes, what are you doing? I am preparing a place that is more amazing than you can understand or imagine. You will be there with me forever. Now do the assigned tasks that I have given you. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and go and tell others about him so that they can be there too. A friend of mine, I was a rugby player in Oxford, and he, it was a time of cassette tapes. For those of you too young, that's the cassette tape. Right? Some of you have never seen a cassette tape. You can't download onto a cassette tape. You still got some, have you, Colin? Still use them. I'm not surprised, Colin. But yeah, some of you have never even seen a cassette tape. They were really amazing. You used to pop them in the machine, apart from if they got slightly twisted, and then you had to get pencil, didn't you, and have to wind them up and wind them out, and it was just a real faff, and then they got creased, and then you'd lose half the track of what you were listening to. But there was a friend of mine, and he was at university a long time ago, and he gave a mate a cassette tape of a talk that he had given on the good news of Jesus Christ, but also of the terror of God's judgment in the face of human sin, and how those two are shown in light of each other, that though we deserve God's judgment, God has sent his son Jesus in our place. And he gave it to one of his friends, one of his rugby friends. Two of his mates, they came to his house. He wasn't there. He was running a bit late. They were both rugby players, and they were standing there chatting, waiting, and one of them had a cassette in his hand. And the other said to him, he said, why have you got the cassette? And he said, oh, this is my mate. He gave it to me, and it's amazing. And he started to tell him all about it. And then when my friend got back to his house, these two guys were there, and the one who didn't have the cassette tape was furious, absolutely furious. He said, look, if what you said on this tape is true, and this guy isn't lying, if I am facing God's judgment because of my rejection of him, and yet there is not only a way out, but a wonderful way of knowing God personally through his son Jesus, why have you never told me about it? I obviously can't be a friend of yours, because if I was a friend of yours, surely you would let me know this incredible truth. When he told me that story many years ago, it really hit home. Are there many friends of mine, yes, that I haven't had the courage to tell about Jesus? Are there family members that don't know about him? On Friday, I flew back in from the US and went straight to Jersey for my grandfather's funeral. And we sat in the funeral, and I mean, amongst some of my cousins. All my cousins have flown over from the US and Spain and everywhere. I sat next to two of my cousins that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And halfway through the funeral, the vicar who was leading the funeral read a message from my grandfather to the whole family. He'd written this message a couple of months before he died, and he wanted it read at his funeral. And it was an amazingly short and concise message from my grandfather. And it went along the lines of, please don't weep for me. I've had a long life and I've loved it. I am so thankful to God for all of you. But I'm more thankful to God that in my 70s I found Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So here's my message to all of you. Some of you sat here today know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some of you don't. Please turn to him so that you too will be in heaven with me. Because if you don't, you won't love Pop. That was his message. And I sat there, and afterwards one of my cousins turned to me and we talked about it. We talked about it for about 10 minutes. It's not the first time we've talked about it. But the older you get, the less worried about what you think you are. And so I just urged him, cuz, for goodness sake, you've really got to look into this properly. Stop giving it lip service. Stop occasionally chatting about it, but turn and look at it for yourself. Because if Jesus is alive, like Pop believed and I believed, then it's of infinite importance for you now. Jesus considers it even further in verse 35. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Well, I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Don't be caught napping. We all live in that kind of manana Christian state. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I will love God with everything tomorrow. I will love my neighbor tomorrow. I will go and make disciples tomorrow, just when I've got this done, just when I have lived like this. Don't be caught sleeping. Jesus warns of it, doesn't he? We won't know when he's going to come. For some it will be midnight, for some it will be evening, for some it will be dawn, because the whole world will know at once. Don't be caught sleeping. Watch. Live in light of this incredible coming of the King. Let it shape who you are. Be perpetually ready, living out your God-given responsibilities. So often we wonder, don't we, what will it be like? I know I've read this to many of you before, but I want to read it again so that we remember what it is like or what it will be like. This is an author's illustration of the return of Jesus, the King. It's only an illustration. It's not exactly as it will happen, but it's a really helpful reminder of the awesomeness of who God is and what he has done. You might want to close your eyes and picture this, or just let your mind drift as you listen to these words. You're in your car, driving home. Your thoughts wander to the game you want to see, or the meal you want to eat, when suddenly a sound like any you've ever heard, unlike any you've ever heard, fills the air. The sound is high above you. It's a trumpet, a choir of trumpets you don't know, but you want to know, so you pull over. You get out of your car and you look up. As you do, you see you're not the only one looking up. The side of the road has become a car park. Car doors are open and people are staring at the sky. People from shops are racing out of the stores. The footy game across the street has stopped. Players and parents are searching the clouds. And what they see and what you see has never before been seen. As if the sky were a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part, a brilliant light spills onto the earth. There are no shadows, none. From where came the light begins to tumble a river of color, spiking crystals of every hue ever seen and a million more never seen. Riding on the flow is an endless fleet of angels. They pass through the curtains one myriad at a time until they occupy every square inch of the sky, north, south, east, west. Thousands of silvery wings rise and fall in unison, and over the sound of the trumpets you can hear the cherubim and seraphim chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." The final flank of angels is followed by 24 silver-bearded elders and a multitude of souls who join the angels in worship. Presently the movement stops and the trumpets are silent, leaving only the triumphant triplet, "Holy, holy, holy." Between each word is a pause. With each word, a profound reverence. You hear your voice joining in the chorus. You don't know why you say the words, but you know you must. Suddenly, the heavens are quiet. All is quiet. The angels turn. You turn, the entire world turns, and there he is, Jesus. Through waves of light, you see silhouetted Jesus Christ the King. He's atop a great stallion, and the stallion is atop a billowing cloud. He opens his mouth, and you are surrounded by his declaration, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." The angels bow their heads. The elders remove their crowns, and before you is a figure so consuming that you know. Instantly, you know. Nothing else matters. Forget the stock markets and car races and school reports, sales meetings and football games. Nothing is now newsworthy. All that mattered matters no more, for Christ has come. Jesus himself tells us that that day is coming. It will be a wonderful day. If you do not know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, now is your opportunity to meet him, to get to know him, to know how much God loves you, so much that he sent his Son to die for you, so that you could be in a relationship now with him, but forever in a place that he is making for you that is more glorious than you can imagine. So that day is not a scary day. That is a day full of joy as you declare, "Holy, holy, what about tomorrow? The 4th of March. Yes, the 4th of March. Is that the day where Jesus is returning? I don't know. But his return is closer today than it was yesterday. How are we to live tomorrow? Well, we're to do the assigned tasks that he's given us wholeheartedly, knowing that that day could come at any point. That's a wonderful way to live, with great anticipation and excitement and joy, telling the world that the King is coming. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have not left us on our own, that your Spirit is here, that through your word you remind us of your truth. And we are sorry for so often living as if you're not here, so often living as if you're not coming back, and so often living as if this is it. But thank you for the reminder that you gave us in your word that there is a day where you will come back. Please help us to be alert, on our guard, watchful. Please help us to do all that you've asked of us for your sake and for your glory. Please help us tell the world the good news of what you have done. Please help us be a church that are perpetually ready, living out our God-given responsibilities. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.